You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Yes. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. I want to share a little. I'm not teaching specifically on this passage, but I want to use it as a springboard. You know, God wants to bless you. Everybody say, God wants me blessed. Now, I realize that you can be abusive with that term. People can go too far with it. It's just the church just turns into a bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me club with no purpose, with no destiny, with no reason for it. But God, the fact is, God does want to bless you. There is a purpose, yes. The purpose is that you can be a blessing. The purpose is that you can do more. Now, listen, if we all stay poor, we can't help anybody. If we all stay sick, we can't help anybody. If we're all depressed, we can't help anybody. If the blind lead the blind, we'll both fall in the ditch. Jesus said it. Hello. So at some point, we got to get healed. We've got to get back up on our feet. Maybe you've been through some pain and some hurt in your life. Maybe you've had some tragedy. All of us have had that. This was a broken, fallen world we live in. But I can tell you from God's Word, God doesn't want you to stay there. He wants you to get over it. He wants you to get up. And it may take a while. It's going to take some effort, take some prayer, change your thinking. Hello. But it's bigger than you. It's bigger than you. You've been hurt? Well, we've been hurt. We've all been hurt. God wants to heal you. He wants to get you on your feet because He wants you to be able to minister and help others. Hallelujah. It's always bigger than you. It's always bigger than what happened to you. You know what's happened to you has probably happened to somebody else. I'm not demeaning or belittling your pain or your problem. I'm just saying that all of us have gone through that. All of us have a story to tell. But God wants to bless us. He wants to heal us. He wants to restore us. He wants to put us on our feet again. Why? Because He wants to use us to help others. It's always about others. It's always about somebody else. Think about it. You are the key to reaching somebody. You are the key to helping somebody. To somebody, you're somebody's hero. You are. You are somebody that people are watching. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's looking to you. Somebody's looking up to you. It may be children, it may be friends, it may be relatives, it may be people you work with. You just don't know. We all affect each other in different ways. And so that's why it's so important that we get a hold of God's Word and let God bless us. Sometimes we resist the blessing. We think there's some kind of piety or humility in being poor or having problems. No, there's not. We need to get over the problems. We need to get over the poverty. We need to get the help and get on top so we can be a blessing. I want to be a part of the answer, not a part of the problem. I realize in this world it's a constant struggle and a battle. There are things that happen that we have to combat and we have to confront. And when I say all this about being blessed, it doesn't mean nothing bad's ever going to happen. You're never going to have another problem. I wish that were the case. I wish you could just come here and hear a message and walk out of here and say, never going to have another problem again. Amen. Hello. But the answer, what we're sharing, what we're saying is that although problems are out there, we have hope, we have victory, and we have help, we have answers. You can cheer up. You can smile. Because it's going to be all right. God's going to come through. His Word is true. He does want me blessed. I am blessed, hallelujah, by virtue of being a Christian. I am blessed. It's what I am. I am not cursed. Don't everybody get excited at once. You know, people ask me sometimes how I'm doing. I said, I'm blessed and can't be cursed. I'm blessed with heaven's best. I'm blessed by the best. I'm blessed, too blessed to be depressed. Too blessed to be distressed. I'm blessed. Amen. Jesus has blessed me. Amen. Things may happen, things may come, but I know who to run to. I know what to do. I know what scripture to stand on. I know how to call. I know how to cry out to God, and God will come through. Hallelujah. Amen. For me. Amen. He's my strength. He's my hope. He's my help. I have a destiny. I have a future. Amen. Woohoo. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Genesis 12. Found it? See, this is what God tried to get into Abraham's thinking, and it took him a long time to get it in his thinking. Really took him some 25 years to get this straight in his thinking, what God wanted to do with him. And I think it's interesting the steps that took place here. Genesis 12, verse 1 says, Now the Lord had said to Abram, Get out of your country from your family. Now, thank God for family. Maybe you have good family. Stay there. But sometimes in our mind, we've got to get out of the way we were raised. We've got to get out of the country we're in. Spiritually speaking, you know, a lot of times we use those as excuses for what we're doing or not doing. We use excuses of, I was raised this way, that's why I'm this way. or this is just where I live, this is my environment, you know, this is genetic or environmental or psychological, one of those three things, or somebody else made me do it, or he made me so mad, or she made me so mad, or it's always somebody else's fault. But God's wanting us to get out of all that. I don't know if your mama slapped you, maybe you need to be slapped. Hello. I don't know. Maybe you were abused. You could have. It's possible. There's people in here. That's a very serious thing. It really has happened. But I'm here to tell you, praise God, you can come out of that. You can come out of that. And that's what he really had to get Abraham out of, that environment, because that was affecting his faith and affecting his outlook and affecting his concept or faith or destiny, what he was believing for the future. His family happened to be moon worshipers. They worshipped other gods. They came out of Ur of the Chaldees. In fact, Joshua 14 tells us that. It talks about Abraham when he left Ur. Everybody say Ur. I'm not stuttering. That actually is a place. And if you think that's strange, I'll get Herb to stand back up and tell you some of those names again, those islands. But he came out of Ur, and his parents, his family worshipped other gods. So God had to get him out of that and change his thinking. You know, we got to change our thinking. If we're going to be blessed, if we're going to make it, we're going to have to change the way we think. Change the way we see ourselves. Change the concept we have of ourselves. I'm not saying just think better of yourself. I'm saying think what God thinks. Find out what God says. Start saying about yourself what God says about yourself. Jesus started his whole ministry by first finding in the Scripture where it was written about him.
That's right.
And he read off Isaiah. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And he lists all those things, Luke 4:18. And when he finished that reading of the Scripture, he closed it, the book, rolled up the scroll, and he said, this day, this Scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Yeah. Jesus started his ministry by finding out what God said about him and declaring it and running with it. Question is, do you know what God says about you? Have you found where the Scripture talks about you? They asked John the Baptist the same thing. John, the first Baptist. You remember him? Okay. You remember he's got the same middle name as Kermit the Frog has. I'm just trying to help you. You're out there. Come on. They asked him, it says, who are you? Are you the Christ? He said, no, I'm not the Christ. And they asked him another question. He said, no, I'm not that. And they said, well, who are you that we may give an account? What do you say of yourself? And the Bible says this is the record that John gave. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. As said the prophet Isaiah, prepare you the way of the Lord, make his path straight. In other words, I am who God says I am.
Amen.
John knew who he was because he knew what God said about him. Yeah. Jesus knew who he was because he knew what God said about him. The question we should ask ourselves, do we know what God says about us? Or are we just repeating things that we've heard all of our life? Hello. Maybe heard preachers say, and I are one. Maybe we've heard preachers say things that are religious, maybe, but not necessarily scriptural. We need to find in the Bible where it talks about us and what God says about us, and we need to say that. Now, the Bible says, believe it or not, it does say this, we are blessed. It says I'm blessed, you're blessed, we're blessed by virtue of being Christians, believers. When he blessed Abraham, he set something in motion here. In fact, let's look at this. 12th chapter of Genesis, first verse. Now, the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Now, obviously, if you're raised in a Christian home, that you stay right there. He's talking to someone whose parents did not serve God. And this is not telling you to necessarily leave your home. I'm saying you have to start thinking like God thinks, thinking like the Bible tells you to think. Get your mind renewed with the Word of God and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen? We need a transformation. How many of you know that?
Yeah.
I mean, really, it all boils down to seeing this thing the way God sees this thing. Looking at this situation the way God looks at this situation. All of our fear and all of our doubt and all of our worry comes from not seeing it the way God sees it. Not knowing the outcome. Not knowing the future. As soon as you find out it's going to be all right, you're going to be all right. As soon as you find out it turns out okay that we really do win, it makes the journey easier. You know, I shared this in the men's breakfast yesterday morning. We had a men's breakfast yesterday, guys, 8 o'clock. It was good, too. The food was tremendous. The teaching was just over the top. But anyway. But I shared this. I thought about this. I'd taken some of the grandsons to see the 3D movie, Journey to the Center of the Earth. You know, now that those 3D movies now are just awesome. You know, it's like a pair of sunglasses they put on. And the technology is just amazing. It's a real good, clean show. And so I took Trenton and Dylan and Reese and Cole, 3 oldest grandsons. I didn't take all 8 of the grandsons, the 4 oldest, yes, excuse me. I didn't take all 8 of them or the granddaughter. But I took those 4, and we sat there. Man, we just had a guy's day out. You know, we went to see Journey to the Center of the Earth, and we were watching it with these 3D glasses. And, boy, it's just amazing how close everything is, you know. And the kids kept going, oh, yeah. They kept reaching out trying to grab stuff, you know, because it looks like it's right in your face. And we were watching, and Cole over here, of course, he's the youngest, you know. Some of the parts were a little scary for him, and I wasn't thinking about it. I mean, there's some dinosaur, you know, and some fish with big teeth. I don't want to give you any spoilers if you're going to watch a movie. But there's a couple spots that are kind of scary. And he said, oh, Papa, this is scary. I said, no, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right, Cole. It's going to be fine. He said, okay. So he put his glasses back on, you know, and something else. Oh, he'd take his glasses back on. Papa, this is scary. Papa, this is scary now. This is scary right here. And I said, no. It's going to be all right. He says, well, how do you know? I said, because I saw the show yesterday. I saw it before I brought y'all to it. Because I watched it before I took them, you know. And I said, okay. So he put his glasses back on and watched a little more, you know. And then again, of course, something happened. He says, oh, Papa. He said, this is scary. Papa. And then he started asking me. He says, is this going to turn out okay? Is this going to be all right? Okay. As long as he knew it was going to be all right, he was okay. As long as he knew that it was going to turn out okay, he was fine, see? The fear was not knowing what was going to happen. And as long as I assured him, I'm his Papa. Are you kidding? Well, Papa says it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. I'm Papa, you know. So he was fine. And what was so amazing, you know, I don't know how much of it he missed, you know, with his knees up and his glasses off and putting it back on. When it was all over, he said, that was the most awesome movie I ever seen. Woo! But what's going on in your head makes a difference. Are you with me? You gotta know things are gonna be okay. You gotta know that God's word's true. It really is true, it really does work. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me move something here. This is falling. Okay. Please help me. I'm falling. Second verse. This is what God says he will do to Abraham. He will do for him. This is the blessing of Abraham. Everybody say the blessing. God said, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. There's several things he lists here. I'm not really going over that in detail. It's a good study. It'd be good for you to take that, list them. I think 7 things he says that he will do for Abraham. Sevenfold blessing. I'll make you a great nation. Who will make him a great nation? God will. God will do this. And see, God can do this, and God can make you a great person. You're never going to be a great person without God. But God can make you a great person. You may think you're nobody, but I'll tell you something. God can make you somebody.
That's right.
You may think you don't count, and everybody might have told you all your life you're no good, never done a good thing in your life. But let me tell you something. God can make you a great person. In fact, every one of us are great people in God. Every one of us can be great people. Every single one of us can make an impact. Every single one of us counts. We're important. Don't you buy the lie. Don't you start comparing people, comparing yourself among other people. Paul said, they that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. We go into church and you compare yourself to the pastor. That's not fair. Are you kidding? I'm up front. I'm up here all the time. See, I have star status. It could just as well be you. Don't be confused by that. That doesn't make me better than you. Somebody's got to be up here. It just happened to be me. If you'd have seen me before I got saved, you'd think, yeah, I know that's God. You'd realize this is God, that I'm up here. It's the grace of God. It's the anointing of God. And whatever you do is important, and it counts, and God can use you too.
Amen.
Amen? Oh, yeah, but you must have had a great life and a great education and so on and so forth. Well, you know, thank God for good lives and good education. I think my son and my children have a better testimony than I do because they've always been raised in a Christian home. They were set free and delivered from things that I went through. They didn't have to go through those things. I don't have the great testimony because I come out of drugs and jails and kicked out of high school and the things I went through as I grew up. I don't have a great testimony because of that. But, oh, look what God's done with him. Are you kidding? I'll tell you, the best testimony is someone who's raised in a Christian home. If you were raised in a Christian home, you've got the best testimony. Because you were protected from that. I remember I was doing a big youth meeting at Lakewood Church years ago, 77, 78, something around there. I was like 5. But anyway, There was a lady named Rachel Cook. Now she's Rachel Birchfield. They have a big ministry in Columbus for outreaches, and also they have a church they started, Tom and Rachel Birchfield. But Rachel was one of the speakers. I was one of the speakers, and another guy, a good friend of ours, was speaking there also. And I organized it, put the whole thing together, and we did it at Lakewood, and I was all excited. She got up. We used to call her the blonde bombshell, because, I mean, she was a fireball. She'd preach to every preach in prisons, preaching. She'd had these youth camps. She'd put them together, believers boot camps is what she called them. And she was a nurse, I think, or worked in a hospital. And anyway, she got up, and I got so tickled, she says, "I've been delivered from prostitution. I've been delivered from drugs." I was thinking, my God, I know that about Rachel. I thought she'd been serving God all her life. And she went through all these things. She says, "I've been delivered. I never went through any of it. God spared me through the whole thing, kept me from all of it." I thought, you know what? Now that's deliverance there. Isn't that good? Now thank God for being delivered from what you've been through. But you've got to start seeing yourself. And I see, I'm not an ex-drug addict. I'm not an ex-JLE. I'm not an ex-knucklehead. Ex-hammerhead, whatever you want to say. I'm a Christian. I'm blessed. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm in a whole new family. Hallelujah. I got a new daddy. Praise God, I got a new future and new destiny. Woohoo! I'm excited about the future. My future's so bright, I got to wear shades. He says, "I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make your name great. And you shall be a blessing." I love that part. That's prosperity with a purpose. That's turning gold into souls. That's turning gifts and talents and lifting us up and getting us out of the mess we're in. Turn it around with a purpose. Now we have a purpose. Now we have a reason. Now we're here for a purpose. We're doing something here. We're making a difference. Hallelujah. You're about change. You know, of course, it's a political year. The real change is the change of heart. The real change is the change on the inside. The real change is the change of kingdoms. You change from the devil's kingdom to God's kingdom. There are people out there lost, need to be saved. There's people out there sick, need to be healed. There's people depressed, need the peace of God. People with no future in their mind, their thinking, that need to understand they're of great value to God and they have a destiny in the future. Hallelujah. That may be you. Listen, get over that. Get into your destiny and start helping other people find theirs. Amen? So he says this. He says, "You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. When we read about Abraham, we ought to relate to this, because in him all families of the earth are blessed. In Abraham, we're blessed. That went over real big. I mean, we see someone make a lot of money. We say, well, they must be Jewish or some of those Jews. Everything they touch turns to gold, you know. Well, listen, Jews are just people. If you're a Jew, God blessed you. But anyway. Just trying to keep it light, guys. Just kind of. I felt a lull there. I felt like I needed to say something. But anyway, we are all blessed by God. We're all blessed in Abraham. The Jewish nation is blessed in Abraham. The Gentiles are blessed in Abraham. If we'll trust God and believe God and call on Jesus Christ, you know what? We've got that same blessing. In fact, that's repeated in Acts. Acts talks about how that in him all nations were blessed. Peter said that in his great sermon, I believe the second chapter over there of the book of Acts, third chapter. And then again, Paul talks about the same thing, Galatians, the third chapter. Turn to Galatians 3. Hallelujah. Everybody say, "I'm blessed."
Blessed.
You need to get this concept. I am blessed. I am blessed. Hallelujah. I'm blessed. See, the sky's the limit. If we'll just trust God, whatever he tells us to do, we can do it. Where God guides, he provides. God does not give vision without provision. We are blessed. We may be in a small town, but we don't have a small God. We feel led to, you know, get on television. We just get on television. We did. We own a television channel. We run a television channel on cable and have for 3 years now, I think. I don't know. It's been several years. I run into people all the time, watch the program. I was over in, was it Mesquite or Forney?
It was in Walmart
Terrell. Walmart Terrell. Of course it was, yeah. It was Mesquite or Forney. So there I was in Terrell. And thank you. You got it. You writing notes? Okay. I was standing there. I was looking around, you know, just trying to look like a Christian, you know. Walk. Thank God I wasn't buying anything like beer or alcohol or anything like that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, you won't find me doing that either, but I just made that point. And I was standing there, and this guy comes by. Now, this is before you and I saw him. He saw me earlier, and he went like this, and I thought, oh, boy, he's going to tell me I look like Bill Clinton. So I went past him. Later on in the store there in Fournier, Mesquite, Terrell, Brent and I are walking along later on, and there's that guy again. And he says, I know you. I've seen you on TV. I said, really? I said, overcome by the world? Yeah, I used to watch it all the time. I used to live in Wills Point. I had cable. I used to watch you all the time. Thank you so much. He says, I'm doing the same thing now. I'm telling everybody about Jesus. Amen. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
And he lives in Terrell now. He moved to Terrell, and he wasn't living in Wills Point anymore. So we run across that. Thank God for that opportunity. We're in a small town, but we don't have small town thinking.
No.
We serve a big God. Amen. What is it that God's put in your heart to do? You can do it. You're blessed.
Amen.
It may not happen overnight. Take steps. Take it slowly, but don't throw away the dream. Don't give up. You're blessed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, man, things are going this way or that way, and this happened, that happened. I just feel like I'm cursed. No, whoa. You're not cursed.
No.
You are blessed. You're blessed. Galatians 3, notice this. Man, time's slipping away here. I'll let you out here in just a little bit. Stay with me here. Ushers, lock the doors. Okay. Galatians 3, 8th verse. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. How many of you know we've been justified by faith? Your faith in Jesus Christ has got you. You're saved. You're going to heaven now. I don't know about your past. It's over. But you need to turn around and start facing your future.
Amen.
You know, if you're looking at your past, you have to realize the future is coming 24/7. If you're looking at your past your whole time, you're a human, a Christian, a believer, not a crawfish. Crawfish is back into their future. Don't be moonwalking into your future. Come on, turn around and face your future. Your past is over. Can't do anything about that. It's forgiven if you've asked God to forgive you of it. It's over. Quit beating yourself over the head about it. So rise up, stand up, do the things that God said you can do. Be blessed.
Amen.
Be blessed. Hallelujah. So it says here, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel, the good news to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all nations shall be blessed. He repeats that same thing. In you all nations shall be blessed. So then, those who are of faith. How many of you believe in God?
Amen.
How many of you believe in Jesus?
Amen.
How many of you are faith people?
Amen.
Okay. Those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Wow, boy. Abraham was blessed. Yes, he was. And you know what? We are too. Because we are of faith. Man, it seemed like everything Abraham did, God just blessed him. You know, the 13th chapter of Genesis says Abraham was very rich in gold, cattle, and silver. Very rich. At one point, the 14th chapter, remember when Lot was abducted and taken up north by the kings of Kedorlaomer? You remember Kedorlaomer? You remember him? And those kings came down and fought Sodom and Gomorrah and the kings of the south and took all these captives and went up north. At one point, There was somebody that got away and came and told Abraham and says, Abraham, they've got your nephew Lot. Lot was nothing but trouble. But he was family. And Abraham took care of him, you know. And he said, okay, we'll go get him. So he gets 318 trained men born in his house, and they go up. And in these texts, if we say it this way, he whooped them kings. He whooped them and got his lot back and all the goods back and all that stuff back. But think about this. I don't think we often consider this. Abraham had 318 men trained for war in his house. The Bible says born in his house. Now, you know they had wives and kids and parents. Hello? Do you have any idea how many people he must have had? So we just think of Abraham out there with a sheep or two and women problems. You know, his wife and Hagar at it again, you know. Holding his staff out here in a tent. Poor old Abraham. Are you kidding? I'm telling you, he literally must have had a couple thousand people in his troop. You say, what? 318 men trained for war? Where'd they come from? Born in his house? Wow. I don't think what you're believing for is too big. I don't think what your problem you're facing is too big for God. I believe God can handle it. I believe God's big enough to handle you even in Wills Point, Texas. I don't care if you live in Elmore or Frog.
That's right.
He's still big enough. He can handle it. Amen. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through, but I know God's bigger than that. He's greater than that. Hallelujah. And besides that, you're blessed. You're blessed with the blessing of Abraham. Because you believe in Jesus Christ. See, notice what the 13th verse says, third chapter of Galatians, Galatians 3, 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. I am not cursed, I am blessed.
Right.
Maybe I'm not acting that way, maybe I don't know that, maybe I'm not living that, but you know what? The fact remains, I am blessed. I need to get with the program here.
That's right.
Why is it so important I be blessed? Because I can help somebody.
That's right.
You know, I mentioned we gave $1 million in missions the last 10 years. The last 10 years in this church, we've given over $1 million to missions. If we weren't blessed, we couldn't do that. If we were just barely paying our bills from week to week, we couldn't do that. Maybe that's where you are. Maybe you can't. Maybe you're just renting and you don't even have a house. Listen, that's okay. Just don't stay there. Ask God to help you, use you, give you wisdom. Start seeing yourself differently. Start asking God to bless you. You know, when something's blessed, it does more than it could have done before it was touched or blessed by God. When Jesus blessed the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, they did more than they could have done without the blessing on them. Blessing multiplies efforts and abilities. Blessing multiplies you and what you can do. Blessing makes you a blessing. Wow. Don't you want to be a blessing? I want to be a blessing. Well, I got to go. That's the second step. The first step is got to get blessed. Well, I don't want all that. I just want to be a blessing. Well, you're not going to be able to do much if you don't have much. No more than you can come back from where you hadn't been. And wherever you go. There you are. Okay. Deep around here. Okay. You got to be blessed in order to be a blessing. You got to get through that step. You got to start believing God to help you where you are. Now, yet, if you're in the first grade, that's fine. Just don't stay there. Let's go to second grade. Maybe you're saying, man, I can't even pay my bills right now. Let's start believing God. Let's work on that. Let's start believing God and trusting God. Don't think you're never going to be able to pay your bills. Don't think this is your cross to bear, your thorn in the flesh. Oh, come on, that's not what those scriptures mean. That's not what it's talking about. Paul's thorn was persecution. Maybe I'm having a Job experience. Well, would to God you did. He had twice as much when it was all over and he started with. Read the end of the book. He came out with more stuff than he started with. Twice as much. People don't talk about that. They talk about losing everything and having a Job experience and dying that way. Job didn't die in that mess. He came out of that mess. He repented, he prayed, and God blessed him. And he had twice as much stuff.
Amen.
So throw all that stuff out now. Let's get back to the Scripture. The Scripture says we're blessed.
Amen.
Amen. And notice what it says here. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Thank God he took our curse. He took our pain. He took our sorrow. He took our depression. He took our sickness. He took our sin. He bare our sin and he bare our sickness and he bare our depression. He bore all that pain you're going through. Cast your care upon him for he cares for you. Quit trying to haul that load around and carry that load around. You're supposed to throw it over on him. Hallelujah. Let him carry it. Amen. And he says this. He became a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone that hangs on a tree. That, this purpose, this intent, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Hallelujah. Somebody.
Amen.
That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Well, come on me.
Amen.
See, that's the very word in Deuteronomy 28 chapter. That's where it says, if you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God. If you do that. You do that which is right in my sight. Keep these commandments which I command thee this day. All these blessings will come on you.
Amen.
And overtake you. Now what Jesus did is cause the blessing of Abraham to come on us.
Amen.
Come on.
That's right. That's good.
You know when you say come on, come on, come on. Well, Jesus calls it to come on us.
Yeah.
And the blessing is on us. It's on us, hallelujah. It's on us. The blessing's on me. The blessing's on you. And the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich. and he has no sorrow with it. And all through the Scripture, it talks about blessing connected to believing, connected to trusting God. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, or sits in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper.
Amen.
Why? Because he's blessed. He's meditating in the Word, staying in the Word. You know what Elizabeth said of Mary? When Mary came in to see Elizabeth, her cousin, the Bible says the babe leaped in Elizabeth's womb. John the Baptist leaped. And she began to prophesy to Mary. And she said, "Blessed are you because you believed. There shall be a performance of those things which were told you by the Lord." Our blessing comes from us believing. It comes from us believing. Now, if you don't believe, then you don't experience the blessing. It's there, you're blessed, but you're not experiencing it because our blessing is connected to our believing. Who's blessed with Abraham? Those that are of faith. Those that trust. You believe you can make it? You believe God's Word's true? You believe the promises will come to pass? Well, you're blessed. When you stop believing, the blessing stops. Does that make sense? Our believing is connected. Our blessing is connected to our believing. Jesus even said this. A woman came up while he was preaching and said, "Blessed is the woman who nursed you," you know. And he says, "No, blessed are they that hear the word and keep it." And then Revelation tells us, Revelation 1st chapter, I believe it's 3rd verse, says, "Blessed are those that hear the words of this prophecy." Hello. Read these words and hear the words of these prophecy and keep the words of this prophecy. So blessings connected to us believing the word. Hearing. You're blessed for having come here.
Amen.
I'm so glad you came here because now you're blessed.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm so glad you heard the word because now you're blessed. Amen. If you come out, you walk out here and believe this and keep this, you're blessed. Because there's a connection between my blessing and my believing. I want to be blessed with believing Abraham.
Amen.
By believing, I will be blessed. Hallelujah.